Good morning. Let's find our place and stand together as we worship the Lord through song, as we start our service with a great anthem, Behold Our God. Let's sing this out together.
Who has held the oceans in His hands? Who has numbered every grain of sand? Kings and nations tremble at His voice. All creation rises to rejoice.
Sing it out.
Behold our God, seated on His throne. Come, let us adore Him. Behold our King, nothing can compare. Come, let us adore Him. Who has given counsel to the Lord? Who can question any of His words? Who can teach the one who knows all things? Who can fathom all His wondrous deeds?
Thank you for joining us for worship today at First Baptist Church of Lakeson. Here are a few upcoming events to help you stay connected.
Join us after the morning worship today for our quarterly member meeting. You will not want to miss this celebration of God's provision for FBC over another quarter of ministry. Community groups continue tonight. If you are not yet connected with a community group, please visit fbcwixom.org/communitygroups to get signed up. Community groups meet every Sunday night at 6 p.m.
Truth Tracker Award Night is this coming Wednesday at 7 p.m. Join us Wednesday here in the auditorium for a celebration of another great year of Truth Trackers. Next Sunday morning, we are planning to celebrate communion. Don't miss this sweet time of worship and fellowship around the Lord's table next week.
In just a few minutes, we will be dismissing children 4 years to the third grade out the back of the auditorium to our junior church ministry. While there, they will enjoy a great time as they sing songs, play games, and hear a message from God's Word prepared just for them. Giving is one of the many ways we have to worship the Lord. If you'd like to give financially, you can utilize the giving box in the back of the auditorium, or you can give online at fbcwixom.org and click on the tab at the top of the page.
If this is your first time at FBC, we would love to connect with you. If you'd like more info about FBC, prayer, or to learn how you can get involved, you can fill out a connections card online at fbcwixom.org/connect. Also, make sure to stop by the Welcome Center for a special gift on your way out after the service. Once again, thank you for joining us for worship today. Now we invite you to worship the Lord through song as we prepare to hear from God's Word this morning.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you today. I want to mention just a couple of things additionally. First of all, we're so grateful for the ladies who serve faithfully in the nursery. And as we enter into the summer season, there's increased need because many of the ladies, of course, are taking vacation with family. And so we need some additional help in the nursery. We're also looking for someone to take the leadership of that area of ministry and coordinate the nursery ministry. And so Angela Victory will be in the back today after the morning worship time. When we dismiss, if you have questions, you can see her and she can answer those questions for you. She will also have a sign-up sheet. And on that sign-up sheet, she will have individual Wednesdays that you could particularly that you can sign up for and fill one of the slots. We don't need you to sign up for life, and we don't need you to sign up for the next year. We need you to sign up for a Wednesday night. If we could start with that and maybe get one or two out of you and have several ladies do that, that would be a big help. Also want to remind you that this morning we just had lesson number 2 of 3 in the E3 Sunday School class that we call Discipleship 101. And we encourage everybody in the church to go through Discipleship 101, learning what the discipleship culture of First Baptist Church is intended to look like. When that class is finished, we enter into our summer schedule. And so that class finishes next week. The following Sunday, which is June the 5th, we will have our summer Sunday school classes beginning. Holden will be teaching a class. I'll be teaching a parenting and marriage class. So we'll have 4 adult classes. Just wanted you to know that is coming up in just a couple of weeks. Also, tonight at community group, if your group is continuing, and some of them are continuing in the same host with the same or the same host home with the same leader, if your group is continuing, there will be an opportunity tonight for you to pre-sign up for that group. And then next Sunday morning, the sign-up will be open for anyone to join any group. So if you have not participated in community groups to this point, this next Sunday, not today, but next Sunday will be the day to get on board and enjoy a community group for the summer. We hope that you'll consider doing that. We think that's a very important part of Sunday worship. And then just a follow-up, men, you heard briefly on the announcements that there will be a Flow meeting this Thursday night at 8 o'clock, Future Leaders of Wixom. This is for young men. If you consider yourself young, it's for you. If you want to be involved in some kind of future leadership in pastoral ministry, deacon ministry, elder ministry, some kind of pastoral or church leadership in the future, you're invited to come. We do all kinds of interesting conversations. That's at 8 o'clock this Thursday night. Johnny's going to come give a brief announcement.
Yeah, I just have one additional announcement. As you heard in the video, we are having a quick meeting in the cafe for anybody who is planning on helping out with VBS this year. So at that meeting, we'll give you some more of the details. But just so everyone's aware, VBS this year will run from the 13th until the 17th of June. So that's 5 nights, Monday through Friday. And we need help in a number of different areas. So if you plan to help in any way this year, please plan to meet in the cafe afterwards. If you're not able to attend a meeting for whatever reason, send me an email and let me know if you plan to help out. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Johnny. And before we pray, let me just remind the ladies that there is a meeting this Thursday at 1 o'clock in the cafe off the gymnasium. This is not a meal meeting. This is just kind of a coffee and cookie kind of meeting to talk about the birthday club that meets monthly for some of our ladies. And so if you're interested in that, you can see Jan Stilley or Sandy Gibbs. They can help you with that. That's 1 o'clock this Thursday. Let's pray as we get started with our gathering today. Lord, we thank you that we can come together this morning to lift up Jesus and to think about the God that we serve, who is the only one who could create the world that we see around us with the spoken word, the only one with the love and foresight and justice to provide the gospel, to send Jesus to die for our sins. We worship
you for these things this morning. And we thank you for allowing us to gather together as your people in this place to think about our Savior and to spend time studying your word. Lord, we don't want to take this kind of opportunity, this kind of freedom for granted. And so we say thank you. We love you. And today we want to obey your word. You've commanded us to gather together in one place as your body to provoke one another to love and good works. May we do that today. Lord, I pray that you would bless each individual that's here today. Lord, some that maybe need encouragement, some that maybe need some conviction, some that just need to have a shot in the arm spiritually from your word, some that need a particular need for fellowship and love. Lord, would you meet those needs in each of us today, and would you use your word to change us? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you've looked at the exchange program for any amount of time, you see that there's a sequence understanding what the gospel is. And the first one in that list, if you see that God is holy and God is just. And I love songs like this, and it reminds us, taken right from Scripture, that God is holy. He is set apart. He is pure, and he is good. And really what that should remind us is that he is worthy of all of our praise. All glory belongs to him. So as we stand together and worship God in spiritual significance and putting all that emphasis on him, taking it right out of Scripture, saying, God, you are worthy, you are holy, let's worship him together. His name this morning as we sing out, O great God of highest heaven. Let's sing this out.
The gospel.
this morning. You can be seated.
The song is entitled Clear the Stage. It's all about removing all the things in our life that simply aren't important. And as the word will say, worship is more than just a song. It's what we do when we leave here. What are we putting in front of our Lord? What are our idols we have in our life? And I know the words to this song were deeply convicting to me when I first heard it. And so may our prayer just be, search me, O Lord, and know my heart as we listen to these words. Clear the stage and set the sounds and lights ablaze. That's the measure you must take to crush the idols. Jerk the pews and all the decorations too, until the congregation's few, then have revival. Tell your friends that this is where the party ends. Until you're broken for your sins, you can't be social. And seek the Lord and wait for what He has in store. And know that great is your reward, so just be hopeful. 'Cause you can sing all you want to. Yes, you can. Sing all you want to. You can sing all you want to and still get it wrong. Worship is more than a song. Take a break from all the plans that you have made, and sit at home alone and wait for God to whisper. And beg Him please to open up His mouth and speak, and pray for real upon your knees until they blister. Shine a light on every corner of your life, until the pride and lust and lies are in the open. Read the word and put to test the things you've heard, until your heart and soul are stirred and rocked and broken. 'Cause you can sing all you want to. Yes, you can sing all you want to. You can sing all you want to and still get it wrong. Worship is more than a song. We must not worship something that's not even worth it. Clear the stage, make some space for the one who deserves it. Anything I put before my God is an idol. Anything I want with all my heart is an idol. And anything I can't stop thinking of is an idol. Anything that I put of all my love is an idol. 'Cause I can sing all I want to. Yes, I can sing all I want to. And we can sing all we want to. We can sing all we want to. Sing all I want to, still get it wrong. 'Cause worship is more than a song. the stage and set the sound and lights ablaze. If that's the measure you must take to crush your idols.
Thank you, Doug and Val. Appreciate that this morning. Very convicting. 1 Timothy chapter 3, if you would please. 1 Timothy and chapter number 3. We're in a series of messages that we've entitled Remind. These are things that the Apostle Paul, a converted Pharisee, was communicating to two young men that he was mentoring. He was teaching them for their own pastoral ministry, but he was also teaching them how to set up churches, how to teach men to minister with the word, and how to teach the church to support those men so that the church might be healthy. And he tells them many times in the books of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus to put the brethren in remembrance of certain things. Paul's premise is that once you know the gospel and you know you're on your way to heaven and you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, that is not the end, but just the beginning of a journey. And the journey, every single day of life, is to be affected by that gospel truth. What is the gospel truth? Well, it is that God is holy, and I am not holy. And God is just, and God has said that if you're not holy, you can't live in heaven forever, and so you've got a problem. And because God is holy and God is just, I don't have any hope unless He solves it. If God can solve His holiness and His justice out of His love and His grace, if He can do that for me, then there's hope. And can I just tell you this morning, there's hope found in Jesus Christ alone. Amen? Because Jesus is holy. He's 100% sin-free. And God justly paid for my sin by putting His Son on the cross. And Jesus died for my sin. So God's holiness and God's justice is now satisfied because of His love and His grace. But that message is not just to purchase for me eternal life because of faith in Jesus Christ. But that message changes the way that I live because I can't be holy without Him. I can't walk the path that He has for me without leaning on my Savior, Jesus Christ, without abiding in Him and letting His Word abide in me. And so Paul, based on that premise, is coming to Timothy and Titus and saying, hey men, there are some things you must teach. And they're all foundationally built on the gospel, the truth. In chapter 3 and verse 15, a little bit farther on in the passage that we'll be looking at today, he says this, we want your people, Paul is teaching Timothy, we want your people to know how they ought to behave in the house of God, which is the church, this gathering, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Can I remind you this morning that you're not getting truth in the news? You're not getting truth from entertainment. You're not getting truth from Hollywood. You get truth from Scripture. It is the only thing that never changes. And we as a people, as a church, have said, hey, our commitment is to hold on to truth, to not let it slip. That is the theme on the back wall that you see in 2022. We want to remind one another, hold on to truth. This right here is what we want to live. Not just say we believe it, not just talk about it, but live it. And this is Paul's message to Timothy and to Titus. Guys, if you get the gospel, it will affect all of the areas of your life and all of the areas of church life. It affects how we pray. It affects how we view lost people. It affects how we view women. It affects our expectations for spiritual leadership. It affects how we view the role of men. And it affects our view of service. So today, we're going to go on in 1 Timothy chapter 3 in just a couple of minutes and talk about serving. Today we're going to talk about a group of men in the church referred to as deacons. This is a Greek word. Of course, New Testament was written originally in Greek. And the word is diakonos. That is the noun. There are verb forms that we'll talk about a little bit later today, but it essentially means a runner of errands, a waiter. Now, as we found when we talked about the ladies of the church on Mother's Day, at first blush, that seems a little bit condescending, doesn't it? Hey, guys, you want to be a deacon? You got to have the dirtiest hands and you got to be willing to serve everybody. And we're looking for some volunteers to do that. It seems a little bit condescending. But as with the role of women, remember we talked about, as you look at the role of women carefully in Scripture, it is honorable, it is respectable, it is crucial for the future of the church because they largely bear the responsibility for teaching the next generation of leaders what it means to follow Jesus Christ. In a similar way, the role of deacons seems at first blush to be low. They're just plain old servants. But they're servants of the King of Kings. And it's a high calling. And as the deacons minister in an effective way, the church's health increases. And we're going to see that a little bit more clearly, I hope, this morning. They get to serve at a deeper level than most. So this morning we want to talk about qualifications for deeper service. And again, there is a broader application. This is for all of us. There's two goals that we want to accomplish today, I think, that Scripture is leading us toward. One, how do we select godly deacons for our church? And secondly, how can I be a servant? How can I be a more effective servant that is advancing the cause of Jesus Christ and His kingdom? So this morning, I want to give you another introduction. Now, last week our introduction was really long. This one's not going to be as long. But I want to just give you some thoughts to kind of help you understand what we're talking about. We want to lay a little bit of groundwork. I want to try to answer four questions very quickly. Who are the deacons? How are they selected? What do they do? And what are their qualifications? Now, much of this is dealt with, by the way, in our Starting Points class. If you've never visited our Starting Points class and you've been around for a while, I would encourage you when we have our fall segment, join us. Because we talk about a lot of these details in that class. Some of you have not had the opportunity to hear them. And so I want to make sure that we're all on the same page. It's important that the church views this biblically and in a unified way. So let me just start on a very practical level. Who are the deacons of First Baptist Church? Well, it might seem like a pretty simple question. I think it's actually a little more complicated than you might think. So who are the deacons? Would you raise your hand if you are serving as a deacon right now at First Baptist Church? So Eric's here, Brighton, Michael, Mark is here somewhere. Oh, Mark is counting in the back, okay? And Scott is home with a sick baby today. So those are our five deacons that are serving. And I think it would be helpful to do this. If you've ever served at First Baptist Church as a deacon, you've ever served here as a deacon, would you raise your hand and keep it up in the air? Keep it up in the air, okay? Look around the room if you're new to First Baptist Church. I think that's helpful to see. There's another 8 or 10 guys with their hands in the air that have served in the past as deacons. Thank you. You can put your hands down. There are a lot of men particularly, but some women as well, who serve at a very deep level, who are not considered deacons, but they're serving well. And the word diakonos means servant, runner of errands. And they're certainly doing that. I'm not going to call them out specifically, but you can probably think of some men and maybe some women that if they weren't serving in a particular role, that entire ministry would struggle. And they're providing incredible leadership. Technically, all Christians are deacons. Did you know that? I mean, it makes sense, right? I mean, we're commanded to serve one another. We're commanded to serve our master, Jesus Christ. Actually, Jesus was the supreme deacon. Did you know that? Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto. That's the verb form of deaconed. Jesus did not come to be deaconed to, but to deacon and give his life a ransom for many. Actually, in Romans chapter 15 and verse 8, the noun form is used that Jesus was a deacon to the Jews. He is the supreme example of deaconing. But every believer is this way. In John chapter 12, verse 26, Jesus said, "If any man serve me, let him follow me. The word serve is used three times in this verse, and each time it is this verb form of diakonos. If any man deacon me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my deacon be. If any man deacon me, him will my Father honor. So Jesus says, look, every follower of me is in a way a deacon. It would be sort of like this if we referred to the singers of the church. The singers. How many of you sang this morning? You sang? Yeah, it had to be more than that, right? We all sang. We're all singers, but if we refer to the singers, you're probably going to think, oh, Jeremy, I know he's a singer, and I know there was a couple other people. Bradley was here, and I know Doug was here, Annie was here, and Mari's a singer, and Eric's a singer. I know there's some singers in the church. In the same way, we're all deacons, but there are five of our men that actually have the title of servant. Think about that. Five of our guys have the title of servant. They fulfill the office of deacon. Now, what do they do? Well, essentially, they serve. You might remember from last week that deacons are not technically spiritual leaders by definition, even though they are supposed to be spiritual men. Their original function was to relieve daily pressure on the spiritual leaders so that they could do their job. Specifically, in Acts chapter 6, to serve tables. Now, some have argued that Acts chapter 6 isn't about deacons because the noun diakonos is not in Acts chapter 6. However, the verb form for deacon is all throughout, and they were selecting a group of men to be known for their service. Again, this is the word servant, attendant, or waiter. Let me just take you through Acts chapter 6. You don't need to turn there. I'll just give you a quick rundown on it for sake of time. There was a problem. You might remember the problem. The church was starting to quarrel just a little bit. Some of the widows' needs were not being met. And the apostles said this: it is not reasonable that we should leave serving the word so that we can serve tables. And the idea was so that we can bring food and money to the widows. That is not reasonable, the apostles said. We might say this, that's ridiculous, that you would want us, who our responsibility is to bring you the word, to bring the widows their food. There was basically two options, all right? There was the option of serving the word of God, and there was the option of serving food and money. And the apostle said, it's not reasonable. We can't do both. Well, we could try, but we won't do a good job. And so we need some guys to take the food and the money and serve the church so that we can take the word of God and serve the church. Same kind of activity, different stuff on the platter. Does that make sense? The same kind of activity. The goal is still the same. Strengthen the church, advance the kingdom of Jesus. But groups of guys doing different things to accomplish that goal. So that was the problem. The priority that the apostles reminded the church of was that their job was to minister the word, the truth of Scripture. It takes time to properly prepare a message, and it takes time to properly prepare one's heart to preach. You see, the deacons are a gift to the spiritual leader so that he can be an effective teacher. This is really important. The apostles in Acts chapter 6 were not trying to get out of work. And they were not trying to have a position of power and authority and glory. Like, we will stand and preach and you common people can get dirty and work. That is not what they were doing. They were not looking for a cushy job. Remember, these 12 guys who set this up, they all died for their faith. They were not looking for the easy route. They were looking for the effective route. They needed the men to ease the load of physical labor so that they could preach the word. So their plan was for the church to select seven men. Verse number 3 of Acts 6, look you out among you, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who we may appoint over this. So they found some men with some character, and they put them in charge of serving. This is really important because sometimes we get it wrong. We think of the deacons as a governing board. Now, practically speaking, in the 21st century, we need some men to take legal responsibility for the ministry. And those men come out of the deacons. But that's not what they were set up to do. They were set up to help so that the spiritual work was not hindered. And then you might remember in Acts chapter 6, there's great progress. There's great revival. The church explodes. The kingdom is advanced. And everything goes amazing once the apostles stop doing physical labor. So what do? Let me just list four things for you. They take things off the pastor's plate so that the pastors can minister more effectively. They take things off the pastor's plate so the pastors can minister more effectively. Number two, they help to spot and meet the needs of those that are hurting. In this case, they were feeding the widows. In our case, it may look a little bit different than that, but they're helping to spot and meet the needs of those that are hurting. Number three, they're protecting and promoting church unity. The church in Acts chapter 6 was starting to quarrel, and the deacons came in and said, no need to quarrel. Everybody's going to get served. And then for us, additionally, deacons provide legal responsibility for the church body. Now, how are they selected? You might know that in our church, deacons are self-nominated, and then their character is vetted by a group of men called the nominating committee. Then the church affirms them and says, yes, we think these are men of character. By 75% of the church thinking they're men of character and fit these qualifications, then they can serve as deacons. In one of the Nine Marks books called Deacons, Matt Smethurst, the author, says this: deacons are not the church's spiritual council of directors, nor the executive board to whom the pastor CEO answers. They are the cavalry of servants deputized to execute the elder's vision. If you want to find a qualified deacon, don't look at his garage to see how many tools he has. Don't look at his financial portfolio to see how many investments he has. Don't look at his company to see how many employees he has. Look first at his attitude, his character, his life. And this is what 1 Timothy chapter 3 is all about. What are the qualifications for deeper service, for service at a deeper level? Let me read for you 1 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse number 8. Where Paul says to Timothy, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, and let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of deacon well, purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Lord, would you help us now as we come to the text to understand it the way you want it understood and to apply it correctly. Lord, we want to just pause for a moment and thank you as a church for the five men that are now faithfully serving as our deacons. We thank you that through easier times and through challenging times, they have proven themselves faithful. They've proven themselves as biblical thinkers. We're grateful for that. We ask that you would help us today to follow that example as a church, that every one of us would want to serve the King of Kings that way. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Look at our passage quickly together. There are several qualifications that are listed, starting with this first one, that they be grave or dignified. The word means worthy of respect. We talked last week about this idea of the spiritual leaders being blameless, that you cannot find something in their lives that is an obvious and egregious problem. There's nothing there. They are men. They deal with sin, but they're getting it right and they're growing in Christ. There's not an obvious problem. The deacons similarly are dignified. They're worthy of respect as you look at their lives. And then he gives some specific ways this comes out. Number two, they're discreet, not double-tongued. Deacons have a particular responsibility to have discretion in what they say. They must be completely trustworthy with what they say. Deacons are not politicians. Deacons are not representatives of the people. Deacons are not the kind of guys that say one thing and do another thing. They're supposed to be authentic. We get the same guy in a meeting as we do in worship, as we get at home. Same guy. He's authentic. He's discreet. He says what he means. He means what he says. They guard themselves from gossip and slander, and they guard themselves from giving any gossip or slander. R. Kent Hughes in the book Disciplines of a Godly Man says this, and I think this is a great quote. Hang on to this one. Flattery is saying to someone's face what you wouldn't say behind their back. Whereas gossip is saying behind someone's back what you would not say to their face. Deacons avoid both. They don't do either one. Flattery is saying to someone's face what you wouldn't say behind their back, whereas gossip is saying behind someone's back what you would not say to their face. Deacons avoid both. They're discreet. Godly deacons are sober, verse number 8, not given to much wine. Again, drunkenness is prohibited for all Christians, but like the pastors, deacons avoid substances that control them. They're careful to avoid anything that impairs their judgment or hinders their work. They're unselfish, again, not greedy of filthy lucre. The deacons are the primary contact for church money. Mark is out with somebody else counting the church money. That's one of their responsibilities. We want a trustworthy guy doing that. Somebody who's honest and unselfish. Deacons must not be the type that cut corners or justify questionable practices at work. Like if we're aware of a guy who's stealing a little bit from work, we don't want him dealing with the church money, right? We want somebody who's absolutely trustworthy. These are people that are not obsessed with money. I love the attitude of our current deacons, okay? 2 years ago, the school was struggling just a little bit to pay its bills, and we were given at about the normal level, and we were struggling at the end of the year to figure out how we're going to pay the bills. This year, there's more than enough. Both times, the deacons are like, hey, you know what? There's not enough. Let's pray. God's got it. We're not worried. Let's go home. Not lose any sleep. Zero. This year, hey, there's more than enough. Let's pray that we'll use it wisely. Not going to lose any sleep over it. Not going to fight. Not going to argue. Just, hey, God provided above and beyond. Awesome. They're not obsessed by it. They're not worried about it. They don't view the ministry as a business in any way. Men of faith, holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. Deacons should know their Bibles and be living biblical truth. Did you know that many times in the deacon's role, Scripture must be considered and obeyed? And often we'll ask this question of one another as we meet together. What does the Bible say about this? Is there biblical truth that has to do with this situation? Maybe more than anyone else, the deacons need to know how to grid church decisions through the gospel, the mystery of faith. So ask this question. Are they men of faith? Are they committed to the gospel? Are they living out their faith when they're not here, when they're home or at work? Proven and blameless. Look at verse number 10. And let these also first be proved, and let them use the office of a deacon being found blameless. Their character must be vetted. Don't even nominate if we don't know you, right? If we don't know you, you're not going to make it through the process. We want guys that we know, and we know well enough to know that their life is blameless. Verse number 11, they have a qualified wife. Their wives must be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Their wives are dignified. They're building up other people with their words. They're not tearing down. Ladies, you can destroy the ministry of your husband if you're in the back tearing people down. Deacons' wives, don't do that. They're clear-headed and sober, not silly and immature. They're faithful women of integrity that you can count on doing what pleases Christ. To be qualified for the office of deacon, men must have this kind of wife. They're also sexually pure. Verse number 12, the husband of one wife. We touched on this last week for pastors. Let me review with you real quickly. Literally, this is a one-woman man. This is a reference to his purity and his fidelity. Men that are qualified for the office of deacon are committed to their one woman, their wife, for life. They don't pursue other women. They don't fantasize about other women. They don't indulge in images or videos of other women. They are committed to one woman, their wife, if they have one, for life. That is the biblical expectation for men that serve more deeply. And then lastly, they're successful dads. Verse number 12, they rule their children and their own houses well. This is a question to ask. Is he a successful father? Does he rule his children or do they rule him? Do they exercise their authority at home well? Future leaders of all types, by the way, should take your marriages and your parenting very seriously, because the home is the proving ground for deeper ministry. Lousy husbands and lousy dads are unfit for the office of deacon. Verse number 13, for they that have used the office well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith. Deaconing is a big deal to God. It's a big deal to God. And doing it well and doing it correctly is a big deal to God. You're never more like Jesus than when you lay down your life for others. And by the way, sometimes deaconing is kind of a pain. Okay? Let me just let you inside. It's kind of a pain. They have to make some decisions that are hard and unpopular with you and with the school. It's hard. Sometimes they have to come together in a unified way and work through problems and bring a ballot to you that you don't like. I don't like that ballot. They had to work through that and they got to deal with it. And it says right on there, the deacons and pastor. They're putting their name out there on the line. Many times we try to meet once a month for 2 hours. Sometimes it goes to 4 or 5 hours and they're missing their children's bedtime. It can be hard. But when it's done well, it purchases two things, he says here. Respect in the church. By the way, I think you should respect your deacons. I think you should thank your deacons. I think it'd be appropriate to hand your deacon a card with a gift card for his wife and say, hey, I forgot you guys meet several hours every month and serve us. Here's something that would serve you and encourage you. Boldness in the faith as well. These are things that Paul promises to Timothy as he gives him instructions for deacons. But why is it so important? Why is it so important? I want to just close with something really quick. Most of you know that I used to be a math teacher, so I got a little bit of that still in my blood. And I've showed you this before, but I just want to kind of show you something that I think will help you this morning. Do you remember in geometry class the transitive property? Anybody want to be quizzed on the transitive property? See if you remember it. Jeff, you know the transitive property? Tell it to me. Can you tell it to me? That's exactly right. Good job, Jeff. You pass. If A equals B and B equals C, then A has to equal C. This is the transitive property of deductive reasoning. Okay? So let me just give this to you. If you're kind of like me and you geek out about math, then you read in your Bible, you see the transitive property, you're like, oh, look at that. Math in Scripture. Let me give you a little bit of math in Scripture, all right? So here's what this says. If the non-pastors serve well, we'll use those words, okay, or those letters. The non-pastors serve well, then the pastors get to do the word and prayer. If the non-pastors serve well, the pastors get to do the word and prayer. And in Acts chapter 6, we see this clearly playing out. When the pastors do the word and prayer, what happens to the congregation? The congregation gets spiritually healthy. You with me? When the pastors effectively minister in the word and prayer, the congregation gets spiritually healthy. How does this happen? It happens this way. When non-pastors serve, the congregation is spiritually healthy. Now that's not foolproof. Okay, because what you could have is you could have a church in which the non-pastors serve and the pastors play golf. That messes up this theorem, okay? You could have a situation where the non-pastors serve and the pastors just relax. That's not going to solve it. What has to happen is when the non-pastors serve, the pastors get to minister with the word and prayer. I've told you this before, but pastors sometimes feel guilty about work. Can I just tell you that again? Can I confess that to you? Help your pastor, your pastors, not feel guilty about work. I'll give you an example. So we're in the gymnasium, and everybody's cleaning up chairs and tables and mopping floors, and pastor's over there talking again. What is his deal? He's ministering, hopefully, with the word and prayer. Man, my husband travels all over the world and is gone all of the time. And I hear that Brad only works 40 hours. And most of that time he's sitting in his on his couch with a coffee cup studying the Bible. Is that even work? Again, remember, if the pastors get to minister with the word and prayer, the church is spiritually healthy. And what God wants and what we want is for the church to be spiritually healthy. Imagine how you feel just on a human level if we say, hey, we've got a job to do. Okay, church, it's a big job. We're going to go out. We're going to go clean up the woods. If you've ever been to the woods, you know that's a scary thing, okay? So all of us are going to go to the woods, and we're going to clean up the woods. And while you guys go clean, I'm going to go to my office, and I'm going to pray. Right? Now, on a human level, we're like, whatever. As soon as things got hard, Brad decided he had to go pray, right? But what we really want is we want our spiritual leaders to minister the word and prayer. This is what Acts chapter 6 teaches us. And so it's here's how you help. You might say, Brad, I never think that. Quit feeling guilty. That's your problem, not mine. But let me just tell you how you can help. If all of the physical work is getting done, the pastor or pastors are much more likely to do their job, which is to minister with the word and prayer. So let me just give you some applications really quick as we close up. Do you serve? That's the first one. Do you serve? Every believer is to be deaconing as an activity, not as a role, not as an office, but as an activity. Do you serve? I'm going to say something that might be offensive. I just want you to hang with me for just a second, okay? Don't take offense. If you're not serving and you're a follower of Jesus, something's wrong. You should be serving. Every Christian is a servant. And he finds a tangible way to serve Christ. And I think the right way to do that is through the church. Number two, if you do serve, are you serving with a spirit of advancing the kingdom? That's an important and convicting question. Because sometimes when we serve out of just, well, it's duty, it's my turn. I guess if I don't do it, nobody else will. Or do you advance the kingdom? I'm advancing the kingdom. Number three, if you're not qualified to serve in the office of deacon, could you fix it? If you're not qualified to serve in the office of deacon, can you fix it? Fix it. Let's find out where we're not qualified and correct that area of our life. And then number four, and again, this kind of harkens back to the ladies of the church particularly, but this is true for all of us. Are you doing your part to train up new deacons and deacon wives? Are you doing your part? This morning in Sunday school, Holden was reminding our class that Paul said he was like a nursing mother to the Thessalonian believers. You know what a nursing mother does? Not only does she care for and tenderly love and feed her baby, but she looks into the face of that child and says, I can't wait to see what you're going to be someday. This was Paul's attitude in discipleship. I cannot wait to see what you're going to be someday. I really believe that we should be looking at the kids in the auditorium and say, man, you're going to be an amazing deacon wife. You're going to be an amazing pastor. You're going to be an amazing deacon. I can't wait to see you leading ministry. I can't wait to see hear you leading worship. The kids are trained by the adults for that kind of future leadership. What we're doing on Thursday nights with the future leaders of Wixom is talking about those things. What does it practically look like if you're going to be a leader? All of us have that responsibility. Do you serve? Do you serve with the right spirit? Are you qualified? And are you doing your part to raise up new deacons and deacon wives?
Thank you for watching this video of one of our recent services. It's a pleasure for us to have you join us from a distance and join our church in a time of worship around the Word of God. The most important message that we can tell you is that God loves you. And He loves you so much that He gave Jesus Christ as payment for your sins. And the Bible says that all that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. We want you to know that message, that true life is found in Jesus Christ. An eternal life, the opportunity to live with God forever in heaven, in spite of our sinfulness. True life is only found in Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Would you be willing to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Would you be willing to pray something like this? Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I know there's nothing I can do about my sinfulness. I don't want to pay for my own sin, and I want to put my faith in Jesus. I want His death on the cross to pay for my sins. I want to repent from doing things my own way and make Jesus Lord of my life. Would you be willing to pray something like that and put your faith in Jesus Christ? If so, we want to help you as you start your spiritual journey with Jesus Christ. God loves you. Our church loves you. We're glad that you could watch this message today. God bless.